thank you again for listening to our fourth Collaboration Mindset program, brought to you by AAA Physical Therapy, awarded Patients' Choice winner for 2016 with Open Care, located in Columbia, Maryland, which is, by the way, was voted as the best city to live in last year, and with Dragon Digital Radio at Howard Community College. Again, we are streaming live every Friday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You may also easily download our podcasts when you want to listen to our program any day, anytime, anywhere. We're also going to showcase this program in our YouTube site, so just kindly search for AAA Physical Therapy there and feel free to share and like our videos on our channel. As we discussed in our last program with One World Healthcare, with Dr. Valera Colon and Dr. Nelson about telemedicine, we will talk about our internship program at AAA Physical Therapy and how we tie up with Howard Community College's Physical Therapy Assistant Program. So first, today, I'm excited to introduce our co-host, Ryan. She is our student intern and part-time physical therapy technician. Ryan, care to share more on what you do at AAA Physical Therapy and what program you are in right now as an intern?
Right now, I'm in the Career Academy with ARL, and I'm a part of the Clinical Research Program. And half the program is about an internship, and the other, we learn about anatomy and physiology and writing papers for college and whatnot, and that's what I'm in.
Oh, yes, that's what I missed to share. You're still in high school, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, also, since you participated with the internship fair at Howard Community College, what can you say about that experience?
It was really great seeing so many people come out and interested in physical therapy, and a lot of high schoolers were internship fair, and it was good seeing them come out and take like initiative to learn about something they'll do in the future.
Okay. And speaking of which, since there's so many people that went to that internship fair, and you having started as an intern here at AAA Physical Therapy, and because you also helped us in choosing our interns for a clinic, what suggestions do you have for our listeners who want to become an intern themselves?
I would just say to be open to learning and listening all about a physical therapy program, being able to learn all aspects that go into it, like the clinical and the office side, and then like try to be available to come in at different hours of the day to see what it's like to have a lot of patients versus a little bit of patients and dealing with the office side and stuff like that.
Okay. To those listeners out there, that's why she's part of our team here. And we're really proud and lucky to have her because Ryan will go to Delaware State University, a Division I school, and she earned a full ride scholarship as a point guard for women's basketball for the Hornets. She will complete her public health degree over there. She was also voted as Fans' Choice Player of the Year by Baltimore Sun. We are very proud and lucky to have her as our teammate at AAA Physical Therapy. So, now, the reason why we have Ryan today as our co-host, because we have Professor Kelly Brukeva. She is an instructor here at Howard Community College for the Physical Therapy Assistant Program. And at AAA Physical Therapy, we have had interns from their program, and we're really happy to work with this program. So, as we provide a warm welcome to Professor Kelly, care to share more about your background?
Sure. I've been practicing I've been out of school since 2009, so I've been practicing in inpatient and outpatient for about 8.5 years. Most recently, I've been in skilled nursing, so I'm dealing with a lot of neurological patients, congestive heart failure, diabetics. It's been actually a really great experience getting time in a different setting compared to when I was practicing an outpatient for about 7 years. And then I've been at the college since 2014, so I've been in education for a few years as well.
Okay, thank you for that. One of our first questions will be asked by Ryan.
What is your greatest achievement as a in a PTA program?
My greatest achievement is I was promoted to a faculty member compared to just staff. So there's a lot of different requirements that faculty have to do in comparison. And we have to do a project each year to get to our next level. So I've been doing some promotion projects and things. Our program has been revamping our clinical portion. And so I teach two classes. I teach Fundamentals of Practice 1 and I teach kinesiology, but I also run the whole clinical portion of our program. So we've revamped the clinical portion so that our students are getting more experience, and we've increased our number of clinical sites so that our students are also getting a variety of different settings.
And in terms of clinical settings, we'll talk more about that later once we discuss the internship program. Yes.
All right. Can you give us a bit of insight towards what your overall PT program is about?
So pretty much we want to make sure that we are training qualified individuals who are good with understanding treatment protocols and communication with patients, which is huge, and sending them out into the real world where they can get practice and make a difference.
And now I'm trying to go ahead and remember. I was involved with...
Fundamentals of Practice 1, I believe.
Okay. And that's wherein you have a different person to become a patient, correct?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't mind, talk more a little bit about that then.
Our theory classes, we typically have, in order to test the students on like manual skills or therapeutic interventions, we usually have scenario-based practicals. So the students will come in, they'll randomly select a scenario. They have no clue what it is. We give them guidelines as far as what to prepare for. They come in, they choose that scenario, and then they have about 5 to 10 minutes, depending on the level of the practical, to review that case. Meanwhile, there's somebody that they haven't met before in the waiting, acting as a standardized patient. So the standardized patient typically has an idea of the different patients that they could be, and then they act as that patient. So it gives the students a good kind of real-life application compared to just having their instructor or a peer as the patient and it not being as realistic.
To bounce off from the experience that I had there, one of the interesting things was I have to present that I have lost a leg. And that's one of the things, speaking of scenarios, that's what was the scenario. So it was really interesting to work with your students, how they were approaching the situation, how they were trying to go ahead and make the patient, which was me at that time, to go ahead and be calm and then explain the situation and why we're doing what we're doing. All right, great. Now, let's backtrack a little bit. So, in terms of the listeners, what do they need to know in order to enter program? So aside from the general stuff that they could easily see from the website, care to elaborate anything else that our listeners need to know so they could enter your PTA program?
So the students really need to have a good grasp on why they want to be a PTA. Having a knowledge of what a PTA is before coming into the program is huge. A lot of students, when they think of physical therapy or physical therapy assistant, they think of like a personal training aspect, and it's much more than that. The observation hours are key, which is why we have them at 50 hours right now. We're thinking about bumping them up to 75 hours, but getting those hours in a mixture of an inpatient and outpatient setting is awesome, because if the student graduates and there's only opportunities in, say, inpatient, and they've only had clinicals or observation hours in outpatient, then it's going to be a huge whirlwind for them going into practice. So getting that experience in both, not knowing what the job opportunities will be available in that time frame, is very important. Students that are strong with anatomy and physiology, in addition to like a therapeutic communication, as far as they've worked with patients, they've been a tech before, have a very strong knowledge base coming in, and it helps them along the program tremendously, because our program should be a lot longer than it is, considering that our students are expected to know a lot of what PTs have as far as the knowledge base, but in a very short period of time.
No doubt. And just like what you mentioned in terms of observation hours, again, working with Howard Community College here, we've had students who want to enter the PTA program. At this point in time, you said about 25 hours of inpatient observation and 25 hours of outpatient, correct?
Preferably, yes.
Preferably, yes. And I think it would be a great idea to go ahead and really increase it to 75 hours, because if they're going to make this as their profession before they enter, no doubt they should have a better grasp of exactly what is entailed to enter and complete the program, and then at the same time do this at least for the next 5-10 years.
Right. And one question that I always ask during our new student orientation, which we have one coming up shortly, is pretty much, why do you want to be a physical therapy assistant? And if your answer is just to help people, well, you can help people in most careers. Why do you want to do it as a physical therapy assistant compared to working at a grocery store, helping people shop for groceries. Like, so really come up with a real reason why you want to do this career versus nursing or sonography or dental hygiene. Something mm-hmm. where when the curriculum gets fairly heavy, you can reflect back to that reason and say, okay, it just reminded me as far as why I chose this career and I need to keep pushing forward.
And that's where you're going to draw your strength from, basically, mm-hmm. To go ahead and complete the program. Okay, and I know you mentioned that something is coming up soon about...
We have our new cohort that was their letter sent out a couple months ago.
The orientation?
Their orientation is coming up on June 6th. So okay. We'll be meeting our new cohort in a few weeks.
Is that open to the public so people would know more?
No, it's just open up to the students that were accepted.
Okay. Well, because the reason why I ask that is because if you have other open sessions like that, by all means, feel free to share.
It should be listed on the website as far as the information sessions for the program.
Okay.
I believe we hold like 4 to 6 a year.
4 to 6 mm-hmm. a year. Okay.
There's actually one tonight.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
I believe at either 4 or 6.
To the ones listening right now, most likely it's already done. But yes, as she mentioned, feel free to go to their website so that you could go ahead and attend their informational sessions of exactly what you need to do in order to enter their wonderful program here. Ryan, I know you're going to college soon, so I know you have questions for Prof. Kelly.
As a future college student, what characteristics should a student have coming in?
That's a great question. So much like how you probably or hopefully studied in your high school career, as far as study habits, make sure that you know what works for you. If you have a hard time understanding like critical thinking, so really practice that. Ask yourself why. Ask yourself the rationale behind things, because that's really going to help you in the program aspect. Dedication is huge, because if you're not dedicated to what you do, then you're probably going to slack off a little bit and you're going to fall behind. And then having a passion for why you want to go into the field that you do, making sure that you've gotten the experience that you need. You definitely know that that's what you want to do, and get as much experience as possible.
All right. And just to bounce off of that, just returning to habits, that's where our day-to-day lives will basically be coursed through. And for example, as a psychology instructor, that's what I do tell my students, that it begins with what you think, and with what you think, that's what you say, and with what you say, that's what you go ahead and do. And if you continue to do the same thing over and over, it becomes your habit. And if that's a habit of yours, it becomes a character, and pretty much that's your destiny. So no doubt we have to pay attention to the habits that we have. And then returning to the why question, Ryan knows that I'm a big why person. In anything and everything that we're doing, we always have a reason why we're doing it, whatever it is that we're doing. And just returning to our humble practice, I believe two of the values that Prof. Kelly just identified in terms of being passionate or having compassion, that's one of the values that we have, and definitely in terms of dedication with our craft. So as early as now, definitely we need to go ahead and have those. We talked a little bit more about the clinical instruction earlier and their settings, and we talked about inpatient and outpatient. Maybe let's start with a general thing first. And I know you mentioned about skilled nursing facility. Would you be able to explain what a skilled nursing facility is versus an inpatient versus an outpatient?
Sure. So for the program, we have 4 clinical affiliations, and they start off with like part-time and they work to full-time. So the part-time clinical, the first clinical starts off at like 2 days a week. Clinical 2 is 3 days a week. Clinical 3 is 4 days a week. Clinical 4 is 5 days a week. So we can kind of build up steadily to a full-time caseload. During that time period, the students create what we call a wish list. So they get a list of our clinical sites and they can pick their top 3. My goal for the program, and this isn't always achievable, is to get every student in an inpatient site or an inpatient setting. An inpatient setting would include like an acute care hospital or a nursing home where the patients are staying overnight at the facility. An outpatient site would be more of like when they're coming to the site, getting treatment, and then going back home. So AAA is considered one of our outpatient sites. For as far as inpatient sites, we have Future Care Nursing Home that's mostly Maryland-based. We have a couple other not as well-known sites. Mm-hmm. But we also, one of our biggest supporters is Johns Hopkins Home Care and Johns Hopkins Hospital themselves. They've been great supporters of our program, and we're actually partnering more with them to create possibly advanced proficiencies for the PTA. That is obviously still in development, but it sounds like it's going to be a great thing for our graduates. We also have some very interesting outpatient rotations to where we have specialties like sports medicine, women's health, and now we just started working with Howard County Public Schools at Cedar Lane, where I have a student there right now who's working with special needs children. And so she's getting a totally different experience than what she's used to. I have another student who's with Adventist Healthcare, and she's actually bouncing back between inpatient and working with amputees and outpatient. So she's getting an amazing experience that she may not have been able to get anyplace else.
All right. Thank you for sharing the difference between those settings. So again, that's where a physical therapy assistant, maybe this is something that we have to be explicit out there. So it's not like I just graduate from your program or complete your degree and then I could just go ahead and practice. I still need to get a license, correct?
Correct. So you're going to need to pass a national license exam that's given 4 times a year, and you have the chance to take it up to 6 times.
Do you have any suggestions for our listeners, not necessarily part of your program, but any other physical therapy assistant out there who's wanting to become one?
So the license exam is a 4-hour test. It's includes 200 questions. It's in depth. It might be a lot of the questions are based off of scenarios, and you kind of have to pick the parts of the scenario that are relevant and the parts that are not relevant in order to answer the question. I remember taking this exam and it was mind-numbing by the time that I was done. So I strongly encourage that people use the study resources that are out there through FSBPT and through Score Builders. Great resources. They really prepared me for taking the exam. And the PEAT exams are very much like what they'll be taking as far as the license exam. And so as a school, we've helped our graduates take and pay for those exams ahead of time so that they have better success rates.
Success rates. Okay. And then, and again, just returning to what you mentioned earlier, that where critical thinking would come in to differentiate this information is not necessarily important versus that information, and you'll be able to go ahead and choose what's the best thing to do.
Right.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. And I know you mentioned that as you're about to complete your program, moving in terms of the internship or the clinical instruction to 5 days a week. Actually, we have a teammate as well of ours, Joanne. That ideally, she's here right now, but she's doing her rotation as well.
So she is, and she's doing well.
Yes. Thank you. So I told her, yes, of course, so concentrate on that versus being here on our program. Now, because we work in the physical therapy field, why do the listeners should choose physical therapy as a first option for treatment, whether it's from prevention to post-operation? Why do the listeners need to go ahead and be aware of that?
So physical therapy is considered more of that conservative treatment where no matter if you have deficits in strength or range of motion or balance, or maybe you need some help with learning different lifting strategies, maybe you need some help with pain control, because sometimes it's just a cycle of, you know, you're in pain, so you're not doing X, Y, and Z. So if we can control the pain, then we can start to improve your function. Physical therapy is all about improving function and quality of life. So if you can come to physical therapy, be treated without this extensive medical treatments of possibly surgery or additional medications that might have side effects, then we can get you back to a higher quality of living without all the additional medical expenses that you might cover.
So you're telling me if I have a back pain or knee pain, instead of drowning myself with a painkiller,
correct.
work with a physical therapy and physical therapy assistant as well. Right.
Because you can come in, the physical therapist can diagnose you with what they think is going on, and then we can check and say, okay, well, is your range of motion limited? Is your strength maybe not as great as it could be? And what's your occupation? Is that related to why you're having the back pain? And is there something that we can maybe modify, maybe your ergonomics at your desk or maybe your lifting strategies to prevent having more pain and prevent having more issues?
In our clinic, that's what we plan to go ahead and do, because obviously majority of the things are insurance-based, but we want to create a whole wellness program that after treatment, after improving in terms of function and range of motion, is that hopefully we go ahead and continue with programs such as maintenance and overall wellness, because at the end of the day, I believe that's what we're trying to go ahead and promote here in terms of overall wellness.
Right? That's a great idea, because you don't want to have patients, reoccurring patients, keep coming back for the same thing. You want to be more of a permanent solution. But the patient needs to do their part. And if you guys have that agreement and that collaboration, it makes it so much easier for the patient.
Now, I mean, obviously we're talking here, but for other listeners, they may want to go ahead and ask a question. Well, what's the difference between a physical therapist then versus a physical therapy assistant?
That's a great question. So a physical therapist is someone that you're going to see as a patient on your first visit. They diagnose you. They do a lot of the evaluation portion of the treatment. Typically, then you'll start to bounce back between seeing a PT and a PTA. So a PTA does all the same treatments with the exception of not doing the evaluation portion. They can still say, okay, well, you know, you're having problems with doing X, Y, or Z. Let's try to do this exercise to help with that. But they can't necessarily say that anything about your diagnosis being related to why you're having certain issues of pain. So a physical therapist is in charge of the evaluation portion of diagnosing the patient and coming out with a plan of care. The physical therapist assistant will come in and will treat the patient under the supervision of the PT, making sure that they're within the plan of care of the treatment.
At the end of the day, that they're working together to go ahead and treat whatever problems that you're having.
Correct. It's a whole teamwork concept. Most PTAs will be focusing on the patient treatment. A lot of the PTs are focusing on the assessment and the evaluation of the patient.
And reevaluation as well after
Correct.
They go ahead
and the continue. Discharge.
And the discharge too. And in mm-hmm. terms of the plan of care after discharge as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the physical therapist assistant can do all the same treatments and can educate the patient on whatever they see fit for that individual. But the decision-making as far as the how to treat the patient is going to be under the scope of the PT.
Under the supervision of the physical therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wonderful. And okay. Great. So is there anything else you want to go ahead and share or discuss about your physical therapy assistant program that we may have missed to talk about?
So one thing that we have a lot of students that come to us during information sessions, they're kind of bouncing back between trying to decide between physical therapist and physical therapist assistant. Our program is, well, and all PTA programs are a go-to-work degree. So pretty much you're getting a degree to go directly into the field. After graduation, you're most likely going to be working full-time. So if you think that physical therapist is something that you would rather go for, if you have more of that leadership role and you want more autonomy, then if I was a student, I would go directly and try to go through PT school rather than saying, I'm going to become a PTA first, see if I like it in the field, and then try to go later on, because that just increases the time that you're going to be building up school loans. Mm. And it'll take a lot longer for you to do it that way. We do have a lot of students that have attempted to get into PT school. It's very challenging now. You typically have to have a grade point average of around 4.0 in order to get in. So we have a lot of students that have tried to get into PT school, didn't, and they decided, I don't want to wait any longer. Let me go for PTA school. And they've done phenomenal. So it really just depends on your personality. If you want to focus more on the treatment care, if you want to have more decision-making abilities in the profession.
For our listeners, because time is always of the essence, something that we go ahead and consider. And again, this is community college versus a PT schools. Most likely you will go to universities. You touch on it in terms of loans if you are going to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take to complete a PTA program?
So the PTA program in itself, you're going to be about 2 years. You're going to want to make sure that you have your prerequisites done before that. So thinking more along the lines realistically of a 3-year program, once you graduate high school and you get your prereqs out of the way and apply for the program, you're most likely looking at that 3-year time frame.
That's awesome. So because if you want to go just returning to trying to help people medically, specifically from a physical therapy point of view under that umbrella, right, instead of going for the DPT, you could go ahead and complete it in 3 years as a PTA and still work with your patients as well, again, from a clinical point of view.
Correct. And there is a few bridge programs from going from a PTA to a PT, but you would have to become a PTA and then get your bachelor's and then apply for the bridge program. There's only two bridge programs in the United States. One is in Texas and one is in Ohio. And they keep their class sizes very small. The chances of getting in are fairly slim because their popularity is growing. Hopefully, they'll create more bridge programs, but that's pretty much our only option right now. Howard Community College's PTA program does have an affiliation with Towson University, and they will take the PTA credits towards a Bachelor's of Professional and Technical Studies, which is what I got my bachelor's in at Towson. So I know a decent amount about it. And it's a great program. It focuses on like health management and ethics, and there's a couple different tracks that you can take for that degree. So it's actually a pretty good option. But again, it would take longer for you to go that route in if you're thinking eventually you want to do a PT.
All right. Thank you. And I'm glad that you brought that up because I wanted to know if you complete your PTA, how easy it is for you to transfer to PT. So I can imagine that there's a little bit of different standards there. But I assume with having that PTA background, you have to go ahead and make sure that you have a high GPA as much as possible, right?
Yeah. And yes. So there's a couple more hoops to jump through. Another thing that I kind of want to talk about as far as our PTA program, as much as you can, a lot of our students range from different ages. I mean, our youngest student has been 21. I believe our oldest student has been like early 50s. Mm. So there's a huge range of ages, ethnicities, cultures, which is great. And so everyone has different lifestyles. So we have students that have children and they have their caregivers for their parents, or they are the traditional college student where they're playing sports. So everyone is a little bit different. Keep in mind that this is a challenging program. So it's not going to be like your general education requirements where you are just expected to show up to class, do the work, and then go home. This is going to require a lot of dedication as far as making sure that you understand the material, not on a superficial level, but on a deeper level, because our program builds on top of itself. So everything that you learn in the fall semester, you're going to be expected to remember and completely understand when you go into clinical during the winter and when you apply it in the spring. So it all builds up on top of each other. So making sure that you're dedicated and having a flexible support system is really helpful. And making sure that you're still getting experience as a tech is a great option. And having clinical affiliates that are flexible with their schedule is very helpful. So it requires a lot of flexibility, but a lot of dedication as well.
And I'm glad that you brought that up because our listeners are a wide range. And if they want to know more about this program, you don't care whatever it is, their lifestyle background is. The important thing, or just like what you've mentioned, is that to have the ability to critically think, to have the dedication, if you may, in terms of concentrating, of completing the program. And again, your passion of exactly doing what it is that you need to do. And again, that's where the observation hours will go ahead and come in. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Prof. Kelly Brukeva. So for our next program, we will have Ms. Kelly Kessler from Local Health Improvement Coalition. She is the director of this coalition with the Howard County Health Department. This is a government-led initiative to provide better access to healthcare. They do invite the public and private sectors to work with this initiative, as a physical therapy is also a member of this coalition. This coalition is divided into four groups. There's a healthy weight group, behavioral health, access to care, and healthy aging. So please go to hclhic.org for more information. As always, if you want to send in your questions prior to recording next month, please call us at 443-979-7171. Prof. Brukeva, what's the best number or contact information to touch base with you if our listeners have more questions about your program?
Sure. You can call my office at 443-518-4638.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you. So again, we appreciate you listening and downloading our program and sharing this to your loved ones. Brought to you by AAA Physical Therapy and with Dragon Digital Radio at Howard Community College. This is Manuel, your host, and Ryan, your co-host. We're signing off for now and look forward to have you in our next program. Thank you.